So while the elements are being distributed, I've had this experience this morning of just how generous God is, how kind he is, how he just wants to keep giving to us. And, you know, we've had an opportunity to give back to God, and we'll have another opportunity in a little while to give our missions offering. But I grew up in church, and they would always say, you can't outgive God. I don't know if you've heard that before. Wave at me if you've heard that phrase, you can't outgive God. Well, it's so true, because God gives in ways that are so much higher than our ways. We come with our need. God, I really need this. You know, I've gone to God so many times with what I thought I needed and what I thought I wanted. And God has always surprised me and gone above and beyond. But he's met another need before he met my immediate need. And then he meets my immediate need a little later, because it would appear that my immediate need is not his immediate answer. So I want to remind you of what the Bible says about how God gives. It says that God loved us so much, this world that he created, the people that he fashioned and shaped after his own image. He loved us so much that he didn't hold back in any way. If you consider creation, you consider this planet that we live on, if you consider this continent that we live on, if you consider the city that we live in, if you consider the incredible beauty. Did any of you see the sunset last night? I was in Bunbury last night, and that red sun glowing at sunset, it was magnificent. I don't know if it happened in Perth, but anyway, I saw it in Bunbury. Absolutely magnificent. I took photos, but the camera cannot do it justice. I just looked at that, and I just thought, look at that. God is just painting this masterpiece. You cannot reproduce this in any way. Nothing can capture this. No camera, no paintbrush, nothing can capture the majesty and the beauty of this. And then it's like he wipes it clean overnight, and he starts again the next day. This beautiful place that he's given us to live. I mean, if you think about the extravagance of creation and the extravagance of the world we live in, how many of you have ever dived underwater? Wave at me if you've dived underwater. It is another dimension under there that you cannot seem to reach the end of, the beauty and the colors and the experience. And if you see a shark, that just adds to the experience, because your adrenaline spikes and you're suddenly much more aware of everything than you've ever been aware of before. The incredible array of things on this planet. And then when you consider the beauty of love, of people, the relationship that we have with people. I don't know if you've ever fallen in love. If you're married, I really hope you have. If you've fallen in love and you've lost it, you've just lost it for a little while there when you fell in love. You had your socks knocked off, your hair blown back. See mine? It was serious. And I so serious I got married and lost all my hair. It was blown back. And, if you've fallen in love, if you've had the birth of a child and you've experienced that dimension of love, God did not hold anything back when he loved us. He gave us this incredible environment to live in, these incredible people to live with. He gave us the church, this amazing dynamic. You cannot reproduce this anywhere. I've been to rugby matches with 94,000 people in the stadium, jam-packed, screaming for their team. Doesn't come close. Doesn't touch me in there the way this touches me. You know, you can't reproduce the glory of the church, of Jesus being alive and with us and moving amongst us. And most importantly, God didn't hold back when he gave us his son. His very best. Gave us Jesus. He said, you know what? You can enjoy all this stuff I've given you. You can enjoy all this around. You can come to church without a relationship with Jesus, and you can enjoy it vicariously. You can do all of that. But I want to make a way for you to enjoy it one-on-one with me, God said. And so he gave us his son, Jesus. I mean, generosity, the giving of God, it just doesn't end. Because that sacrifice of Jesus didn't just happen once on a cross and that was a historical moment and on we go. That sacrifice of Jesus happens every single day in our lives. We get to put on the righteousness of Jesus. We get to put on Jesus every day and say, I can be that close with you every day, no matter what I've done, no matter how badly I've blown it, no matter what I've said, no matter what went down, I can still come back and be forgiven and start all over again and just be awakened to the wonder afresh. Wow. Wow. If you thought falling in love with somebody was that good, it blew your hair back, you need to fall in love with Jesus afresh. Because I tell you what, he puts your hair back on your head. Sometimes. It's amazing. It's amazing. You need to capture the wonder afresh of this Jesus, this gift of God. And so God helps us, you know. He gives us little practical ways to do that. He gives us these little symbols. And he says, I want you to remember that. I want you to never lose the wonder. You know, if you've got children, it's easy to lose the wonder, isn't it? You know, the wonder of when they were born and that magnificent moment. But, you know, stuff happens. They begin to grow and look like you or your spouse and behave like you or your spouse, and you quickly lose the wonder. So God gives us little symbols of how we can remember and reawaken the wonder. He gave us the bread. Such an everyday, ordinary, normal thing that he said, you know, you're probably going to eat every day, probably, if you're blessed. And every time you eat the bread, I want you to remember what I did for you. I want you to recapture that wonder of Jesus being broken and bloodied and beaten. Because, hey, let's face it, that's going to happen to all of us at some point. And that's when we lose the wonder. And then we look at this and we go, no, actually, Jesus did all of that so that I can come to him in my brokenness, in my beaten upness, in my bloodiness, and I can come to him and I can say, Jesus, because of you, I can be whole and I can start again. Let's eat that and remember that in your own life today. And then God thought up this great idea of the wine, the cup. It's probably something that you're going to do regularly, especially at special times. You're going to crack open the grape tarzer or the red wine or the champagne, whatever it is, and you're going to celebrate. You're going to make it a special night. Goodness, those crackers are dry. I feel like a parrot trying to whistle with a parrot with a cracker in my mouth. Anyway. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you that you could put up with me. Anyway. And then he said, look, I want you to remember I can make the ordinary special. I can make the everyday special. I can make everyday brand new. It was his blood. That blood is just the most amazing, amazing dynamic that can wash you clean. You know, I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but sometimes I've felt so unworthy. I felt like I can't come to God. I can't. He won't accept me today. You know, I know he likes me, but, you know, he's not happy with me at the moment. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. And so he says, you know what? If you will take my blood and let it wash you clean, you and I can walk close together all the time. So this morning, if you're feeling a little bit distant and you're feeling unworthy and you feel like you don't really belong, hey, here's your time to remember the blood, the covenant, the promise of God. Drink it, remember it, and say, no, nothing can separate me from God's love. Nothing. Nothing physical, nothing practical, nothing spiritual. I can be close to God. So let's drink together. Wow. Thank you so much, Jesus. We're coming up to Christmas and we're going to remember how you came the first time round. And that first time you came, it really just took everybody by surprise, except for a handful of humble people. And we know you're coming again. And we know it's going to take everybody by surprise again, except for maybe a handful of humble people who are looking expectantly and have trimmed our lamps to keep burning brightly for you. So I pray today that through what you did on the cross, Jesus, your blood, your body, we can enter into that place where we can be expectant and eager for your return, not afraid of facing you, not worried about anything that might condemn us. We can be confident that we're going to be caught up with you when you come back. And we can get on with doing the things you've called us to do in the meanwhile. So thank you for communion, for your sacrifice, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your generosity, your giving that never stops. We just want to say how much we appreciate it and we love you. And we ask this and pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our soon returning King. Amen. Okay. All right. Well, I need to do a couple of little updates. Today is Mission Sunday, so we have a tradition where we monthly we give an offering. We give an offering of finances to the Lord, and we trust that it will be used to extend the kingdom of God in different areas. And so this morning, Trish is not with us. She is in Kalgoorlie. She left early this morning. She'll be doing a week of training and ministry up in Kalgoorlie. And Anne Cobain, one of our intercessors, will be joining her as they go and pray prayers and deal with things in the spiritual realm and deal with things that are a system that the devil uses to keep people in bondage. How many of you know that our culture, if it is not redeemed and not brought under the kingdom of God, our culture can be a very toxic thing to us? How many of you know that to be true? You know, the various things in culture can be very toxic. And so God has led Trish to pray prayers specifically for the Aboriginal culture, and that directly affects us here in Australia, here as people of God, because part of the Aboriginal culture is to reserve big portions of land as sacred sites. That means they dedicate portions of land to a demonic principality and power. They dedicate big portions of land as sacred for a demon to operate in that area. I know this is like going into some pretty hairy stuff for a Sunday morning. Just stick with me. And so God has led Trish to pray prayers to redeem the land. It says in Romans that creation is groaning and waiting for the sons of God to bring a revelation of heaven and redeem the land and give it back to the ownership and the lordship of Christ. And so this week, Anne and Trish will be going and praying with the local churches, the local pastors, and they'll be praying through Kalgoorlie. You see, Kalgoorlie is theoretically is one of the richest towns in Australia, but it also has some of the greatest poverty and some of the greatest sociological issues in Australia. It is racked with pain. And so we believe that part of the solution is not just taking our training there and doing practical training, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Part of our mission is also to go and deal with things in the supernatural realm, in the spiritual realm. And so that is what Trish and Anne and the church will be doing this week. So it's very important. We've done that through the city of Wanneroo. We've done it in other cities across Perth. We've done that in Canberra. And every time we go and pray in an area, God does something on earth. Every time. You will see it in the papers. There will be a police raid and crime will be exposed in the area where we've prayed, right adjacent to sacred sites. God will expose evil and it will come out and justice and righteousness will reign in that place. We can show you evidence of that through where we've prayed. We prayed in government. Things have begun to immediately shift in government. Currently, our government is on a knife edge as to whether or not it will crumble and we will have a new election. God is shaking and moving on the back of some of the prayers. You see, because way back in 2008, Prime Minister Kevin Rudd at the time invited the Aboriginal people to come into the House of Parliament and welcome all the parliamentarians with a smoking ceremony. The smoking ceremony is the tradition in the Aboriginal culture where they invite good spirits to come on people and chase away the bad spirits. Unfortunately, there are no good spirits in the kingdom of darkness. There are only bad spirits. They masquerade as good. The Bible says that the devil masquerades as an angel of light, pretending to be good. And so people think, oh, that's nice. I've got a good spirit. No, you haven't. Unfortunately, you've got a bad spirit. And from that point, we have had reports since 2008 that the government has been in disarray. There has been nothing but dysfunctional government since 2008. And we've gone in to pray and repent of that and break that curse. And we are trusting God to see the breakthroughs in government. You can join us as we pray into that. We've got good reason to pray. We want a good government in this nation. We want a government that gives us good policies and that enables us to operate freely as the people of God and not under persecution. Because I can assure you, if same-sex marriage becomes part of legislation, we as the church are going to come under persecution. I can assure you, historically, recent history demonstrates that in every nation where same-sex marriage has been legislated, there is persecution for Christians. So, people of God, it's my job to get you ready. And so I'll talk to you about spiritual matters that seem quite airy-fairy and have no practical relevance for you, potentially, but I'll talk to you about them because they do have very practical relevance for you. They are much bigger than your world. They're actually all about His world, and we need to get you aligned with that. So forgive me if I've just beaten you across the back of the head with a bit of truth. Okay, so at the same time, Pastor Candace is doing Shift the Nation. This is a missions report. Sorry, did I forget to tell you what I'm doing here? This is a missions report. I'm telling you about what Trish is doing. I'm telling you about what Candace is doing. Pastor Candace has been part of Shift the Nation, which is a 12-day national prayer strategy where prayer warriors, worshippers, intercessors, church leaders have gone to 12 cities around Australia. And it is especially significant of the time frame that we are doing this in. Did you know that we're living in the 500th anniversary of the Great Reformation? We are living in the 100th anniversary of the Anzac warriors who took Beersheba and began a process of changing the nations of the Middle East into what they are today. And releasing Israel from the hold of the Ottoman Empire, the Caliphate, and turning it into the land that is now known as Israel, the people of God's land. It was a major significant moment 100 years ago. And we are also living in a time when the move of God has been prophesied by men 100 years ago or more, where they prophesied that this place would be the great south land of the Holy Spirit and that from the west, a move of God would come and sweep across this nation and into the nations of the world. This is a very significant time. And so during this time, 12 cities across the nation, there are prayer and worship going up. And Pastor Candace, we did this on Friday night here in Perth. It was absolutely mind-boggling. I have never experienced anything like that, and I want to experience it again. I hope I don't have to wait till heaven. But anyway, it was amazing. The presence of God, the power of God was moving, and we believe that we opened the gate for the King of Glory to come in to the city of Perth. They're currently in Albany, and they did Adelaide yesterday. They're in Albany tonight, doing the same thing, opening the gates. Albany is very significant because it was from there that the Lighthouse Brigade was sent overseas. It is a sending port to the nations, and we want to see that continue as we send missionaries from Australia to every corner of the globe. That's why this is part of the missions report, because it's all got a link. So we continue to support Candace in her ministry with Hope WA. It's doing amazing things. Candace leaves at the end of this week to go back home to the States for a good holiday. Pray for her that she'll be refreshed. So you've got a bit of prayer to do. You've got Anne and Trish to pray for as they do the stuff in Kalgoorlie. You've got Candace to pray for that she can have a refreshing holiday. Okay. And then I'm going to Malaysia, Singapore, and South Africa in 2 weeks' time. I'll be in Malaysia doing two churches, doing meetings across two churches. In Singapore, I'll be meeting with a business leader who their strategy is to put churches in every one of the hotels they build in across Southeast Asia. So they're looking to partner with a church to put churches in hotels across Southeast Asia. I'm going to go and meet and talk and see if we can be the church that they use to do that. So you can pray for me for those meetings. The meetings I have, the conferences I'll do in Malaysia will probably be about bringing the kingdom of God or the move of God to Malaysia. So pray that that will happen. I haven't quite decided yet. I've got 2 weeks. And then the trip to South Africa will be seeing the church. I want you to know that we've gone from a church in crisis in South Africa to a church now that is in full restoration mode. The testimonies coming out of the church in South Africa is just amazing. Where we've seen death reign, and we've seen poverty reign, and we've seen heartache and loss reign, we're seeing God restore that. There are great testimonies coming out. People are being healed. People are getting jobs. Their businesses are prospering. This goes against the current flow in South Africa, let me assure you. So we are definitely becoming a door of hope for the region. Our children that we're caring for in the township are becoming the cream of the crop. They're getting really well cared for. They're doing very well at school. The schools have been freshly opened up to us through Pete and Dolly going just recently and blessing the school. Now we have free access again into the local school to minister to the children. God is breaking out all over the place. You've got to keep up with him. And so before I go any further, we've got a message from our missionary, Alyssa, in South Africa. So I'm going to let you look at the screen as we go to that. Is it going to work?
Good morning from your friendly Australian, South African and Temperance Townian. Just want to start this video by saying a huge thank you to everyone.
Well, the audio works. Fantastic.
Good morning from your friendly Australian, South African and Temperance Townian. Just want to start this video by saying a huge thank you to everyone back home. Thank you for your prayers and your love and your support and your financial support. And not just for me, but for the ministry that we're a part of. Without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you for that. I'm very, very excited to be able to announce that my work here isn't done, that I will be returning for 2018. And I'm so excited to see what God is going to do, because already this year we've seen so much change. We've had hardships and we've had things that have been tough, but just the growth that we've seen in the youth and the worship and in the aftercare, and particularly the women who work there, I really know that God is moving and God is doing something different within our community, within our church family. So I'm very, very excited to say that I'm not yet finished and I will be returning next year. But until then, I will see you soon for Christmas, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing you all and being home again before I get sent out. Love you all. Thank you for everything. Bye.
Yes. Isn't she great? So Alyssa will be back over Christmas, New Year, and I'm going to be trusting the Lord to be able to provide for her. Some work with working for me for hopefully a day a week, and for other work to come. So we need to pray about that, and that's part of where your giving goes. So your giving is reaching locally, regionally, nationally, internationally. It's ministering to churches, it's ministering to children, it's ministering to church leaders. It's going to be useful for church planting. You know, honestly, the vision and the opportunities are much bigger than our missions budget, way bigger. And so God is providing miraculously and enabling us to do this and to go. We're doing it by faith, which is never comfortable, but I don't think we were made for comfort. We were made for an adventure. So, I think that's pretty much all the mission stuff that I can remember that's going on, apart from I-60, which you hear about regularly. So we're going to take up a missions offering now. Church, you've been incredibly generous and faithful over the years, but I have noticed that the missions offering has declined significantly over this year. While the work has increased and the opportunities have increased, your giving has decreased. And I know there's practical reasons for that. But I want to ask you to prayerfully consider how you can keep sowing into the missions budget, the missions offerings, so that we can keep doing this work. The very real facts are this. If there is not enough money in the missions budget to pay for me to do the work that I need to do, I will leave to get a job in order to see the missionaries paid for and the mission continue. Okay, so you need to understand that's sort of the tension that we walk with and live with. So I'm willing to do that, but I think it's probably God's preference that I work for the mission and I do the job and carry on doing what I'm doing. But we can't do that without finances. So I'm appealing to you to consider that. You know, in last year or this year, we asked you to consider $1,000 a year, which worked out to the equivalent of a cup of coffee a week. Is that right? A cup of coffee a week, $1,000 a year, that you could sow into missions. I'm going to do that again. I'm going to promote it in January, but I'm just promoting it now. Anyway, so you have an opportunity to think about that, pray about that, and today we're going to take up an offering. Don't worry if you don't have a lot of money. Just give the Lord what you feel, what you sense you need to do by faith. Just give that to the Lord this morning. Let Him multiply it, because He is doing that. So can we pray about that and take up the offering? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us the opportunity to partner with You in this glorious mission of ministering to the nations and of administering Your move across the world. We ask that You would bless us as a generous people so that we could give to what You've called us to do, and we could make sure that people can do the job they're called to do. Father, thank You that we've done so much already. We want to do more. Would You enable us to do that? Would You provide us the money to do that? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's your final prayer point. You can pray for the mission's finances to be there to be able to do the job. Thank you. Now, would you please turn to the person next to you and tell them, did you know that you are one of the most amazing people on the planet? And some of you have received that gladly and you said, thank you, that's very kind of you. I always knew that anyway. But some of you are going, me? Really? Are you sure about that? So last week we had a minister, Alejandro Arias, hello, who came to our church. That was wrong. Alejandro, if you happen to hear this, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Hello. I did it again. Anyway, and we had Alejandro come and minister to us, and he spoke a word over us, and he said, church, you have an anointing. And so I want to share with you today that, church, you have an anointing. And I want to unpack that a little bit, and I want you to come with me. Are you good to go? We've spoken a lot, we've sung a lot, we've done a lot, but we've got a little bit more to do. Can we finish it this morning? Wonderful. Church, you have an anointing. If we're going to have a heart for the lost and for the next generation, we need an anointing to do that. And so we need to ask, well, where are the miracles that we're talking about? You can see the little chalkboard, so we're looking at miracles. Where does the miracles come in? Well, miracles are evidence of the kingdom of God amongst us. We just sang that. The evidence is all around. Okay, what is that evidence? It's the miraculous. It's the supernatural. It's the move of God, the finger of God touching people in a way that nothing else can. In Luke 11:20, it says, Jesus said, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is upon you. So Jesus is saying, if you want to know, if you want to see evidence of the kingdom of God, then you've got to look for what God is doing, the supernatural breaking into the natural realm, the miracle breaking through into the natural realm, the healing, the salvation, the deliverance. These are the signs, the prophetic word, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift, the give, the giving, the hospitality. All of these things are signs of the kingdom of God breaking through, of the finger of God coming through and touching us. And so we as a church have an anointing, and that anointing isn't just for me or for you individually. It isn't just that, oh, I feel good. I had a really good Sunday service. That was awesome. Now I'm going to hold my breath and swim under this evil water for the next 6 days, and I'm just going to hold my breath through the evil, dark world that I have to live through. And if I desperately need it, I'll run a snorkel up to heaven and suck a bit of oxygen and make it through to next Sunday. And some of you, you've got incredible lung capacity because you don't come every week. You do like every third week or fourth week. So you're amazing. Like you're holding your breath for a long time. Really, you're like submarines. Anyway, and so, you know, you come back next Sunday and you're, woo, I'm free. And you're back in the anointing. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. And out you go. Oh, got to hold my breath again in this evil, dark world I live in. Oh, no, my dear family of God. That is the wrong concept completely. You are not supposed to live like that at all. You are the light. You are the salt. You are the ones who take the light of God into this evil, dark world, and you change the atmosphere, and you bring oxygen into a place that is oxygen deprived. You bring the breath of God, the ruach of God. You bring the almighty wind of God into a place so that everybody can breathe. And they don't just breathe the natural around them. They start to breathe the kingdom of God. They start to breathe the miraculous. That's what we're looking for. If this lost and next generation are going to be touched, are going to be reached, they're going to need to encounter the kingdom of God, because they're not going to be convinced by clever arguments. They're not going to be convinced by nice people. I know they run around saying you can't judge, you can't be, you know, a homophobe or a bigot. You've got to be nice. But I can promise you, nice doesn't cut it. Just being nice doesn't change anybody's life. As nice as this generation are behaving, they're still lost in sin. They're still taking drugs like never before. They're still drinking like never before. They're still sleeping around like never before. And really now they're sleeping around like never before, because now they're trying it out with all sorts of different combinations. So, I mean, this is a desperate generation who are looking for something and they say, just be nice, just be nice. No, I want to tell you this, it's not going to work, you just being nice. Please be nice, that's good, but don't just be nice, be more. Be the kingdom of God. Be the miracle worker. Be the sign and the wonder from heaven in that environment. Take this light that you've received today, this gift, this anointing that you've been given, take it to the world because that's where it really counts. It counts here. It's nice here. It's important here. We've got to be able to manufacture it here, but its purpose is to touch the world. So you and I have to be willing to go out this week and say, now, how can I do a miracle for God? How can I be a miracle for somebody else? And so it is my purpose today to equip you to reach and minister the power of the supernatural to a lost and hurting generation. Are you interested? Good. Seven of you are in. To anoint means to ceremonially confer divine or holy office upon a priest or a monarch by smearing or rubbing with oil. The synonyms, the similar words, are consecrate, sanctify, bless, ordain, and hallow. In 1 Peter 2:9, he writes like this. He says to the people of God, he says, for you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God, God's chosen people. And so he encapsulates what this anointing means and looks like. It makes you holy. It makes you royal. It gives you authority. And it secures you that you've been chosen. Now, if you don't operate in all four of those things, you are like a vehicle, a car that is running on less cylinders than it was made to run on. When we got married, Trish and I, back in the olden days, I had a Mazda Capella that I'd bought. Anyone know what a Mazda Capella is? Beautiful car. It could go very fast. Full of potential, except my Mazda Capella ran on two cylinders. It ran, this is important, when you're a Bible college student and you have no money, having a car that runs is crucial. But it was supposed to run on four cylinders, so it would ride along and then miss. Huge bang and then carry on. And I didn't feel embarrassed or anything as I rolled in, backfiring away. And I was like suddenly very attuned to how things are supposed to work. Like, my Mazda should have worked better. I wanted it to be a Maserati, but instead it was a propeller and not even a Capella. It was not working. It was just spinning in the wind. And so I learned very quickly that this thing was designed for four cylinders and all four cylinders need to work properly in unison for it to work. We are like that Mazda Capella. We've been designed with four cylinders. And if you're running on one or two or less, you're going to be backfiring and blowing smoke and burning oil and using up petrol and stalling in the middle of the road. It's not going to go well with you. So it's vitally important that if you have an anointing, that you understand what that anointing is. It is that you are royalty, a child of the king. You are a prince or a princess in the kingdom. You are a son or a daughter of God. Vitally important that you understand that. Because I tell you, when you believe that about yourself, you behave differently. You will not conduct yourself in a manner unworthy of royalty. We are not amused. Okay? You'll behave differently when you're royalty. Holy nation. When you understand that about yourself, that you're a holy person, that means that you don't get mixed up and messed up with the world around you. You rise above it. You don't have to swim underwater in this evil place. You cruise above it. You're holy, set apart, different, and it's okay. For many years as a young person, I didn't know that it was okay to be holy and different. But I want you to know that it's okay for you to be holy and different, that you're God's chosen person. That, he could have chosen anyone, but he chose you. vitally important when you feel insecure and unimportant that you know that God has chosen you and that your purpose is to declare the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His glorious light, is what the Scripture says. That's your fourth cylinder. That your purpose is to praise Him and glorify Him and honor Him, because it does so many things on so many levels. And there's so many Christians who don't praise and worship our God at all. And as a result, they're running on three cylinders or two cylinders, and the vehicle's not going well. The ministry's not going well. Your life isn't going well. If you're going to be a church of miracles, if you're going to live in the anointing, you've got to get the stuff nailed down. You've got to run on all the cylinders God made you to run on. Could I have an amen to that? In 1 Corinthians 2, 11 to 13, Paul writes, he says, "Who can know the things about a man except a man's own spirit that is in him? It is the same with God. Who can understand Him except the Holy Spirit? We have not received the Spirit of the world. God has given us His Holy Spirit, that we may know about the things given to us by Him. We speak about these things also. We do not use words of man's wisdom. We use words given to us by the Holy Spirit. We use these words to tell what the Holy Spirit wants to say to those who put their trust in Him. What spirit have you received? What spirit are you speaking from? What spirit's wisdom are you tapping into?" See, because if you're born again, you've received the Holy Spirit. You've received the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the words of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the life of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's your life. But I'm afraid that many Christians are living a divided life. They're tapping in to a variety of other spirits, none of which are of the Holy Spirit. I spoke earlier about the culture that dominates a part of our Australian landscape. You see, that there's people who, even though they claim to be Christian, are tapping into ancestral worship, are tapping in to evil spirits as part of their culture. It's the way I brought up, just the way I do things. I don't know any better. This is what I'm going to do. But here in this church, you know better. You've been given the Spirit that is from God. You don't have to tap into your culture. If your culture says do this and it's not in line with the Spirit of God and with the wisdom of God, you don't do it. If your mates say do this, you don't do it if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, if it's not part of the Spirit of God. If everyone's saying this and watching this and doing this, that doesn't matter. You don't live like that because you've been given a Holy Spirit who tells you what to watch, where to go, what to say. And so if you're a Christian, it should change your speech. You should be speaking differently. All right, so like a real obvious one is swearing. That should begin to change. Because swearing is from an unclean spirit. And God's Spirit is clean and pure. He tells us whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is excellent, whatsoever is praiseworthy, whatsoever is noble. Think about these things. Why? Because what you think is probably what's going to pop out of your mouth. So if you're thinking about rubbish all the time and you're feeding on rubbish all the time and you're drinking in rubbish all the time, what's going to come out your mouth? Rubbish. It's very basic. And so, in an age where we're trying to dumb everything down and compromise everything and just be, you know, just be all like the world. Let's not be seen as being too radical and too different and stand out from the crowd. God says, I've given you a Holy Spirit. You're going to stand out. You're going to stand out. You're going to sound different because the words that are going to come out of you are not the words of this world. They're the words of another world. You're going to speak with love and gentleness and kindness and wisdom and understanding and revelation and prophetic insight. You're going to speak words of healing. You're going to bring words that are going to bind up a broken heart, that are going to open a blind eye, that are going to lift somebody out of captivity. Yeah, I'm going to give you a different language. You're going to speak differently. The words that you use are going to have an authority. Everyone else can swear and use the authority of Christ, but it is an illegitimate authority. When they take the Lord's name in vain, they have no authority in it. But when we take up the name of the Lord, when we say in the name of Jesus and by the name of God, that's when we carry an authority and things actually happen. And so people are running around going, OMG, OMG, OMG for everything. No authority in it. Empty. It's actually cursing God. But when we begin to say, OMG, in the right way, we begin to bless God. Oh, my God, I bless you. Oh, my God, I love you. We change that. We redeem that. And suddenly, that language has an authority and a grace in this world because it comes from a different source, from a different spirit. Hello? We use these words to tell what the Holy Spirit wants to say to those who put their trust in Him. That's not only for Christians. That's for anyone who's seeking an answer, anyone who wants to say, I need help. Who can I trust? Who can I turn to? We are the messengers. The Bible says that how can anyone hear unless they've been told? And how can they be told unless somebody preaches to them? I want to see an anointing on this church to be great preachers. That you will go out and you'll preach the gospel to all people. That you'll find a way to communicate what's inside of you, the spirit inside of you, will find a way to communicate it coming out. And so that they'll hear it and understand that they'll hear this Holy Spirit wants to say something to me, and I heard it through you, and now I can put my trust in the one who spoke it originally. What spirit have you received? Are you living in it? The spiritual world demands Christians who have an authority and a power in the spirit realm. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God isn't just talk, but also power. Let me tell you, in this church, there is the power of God to heal. Laurie, please stand up, my brother. Laurie, last week, you were sitting in worship, and something happened, didn't it? Can you tell us what happened?
Had a pain in my hip for years. Mostly, I think, from surfing, where you twist your leg and put a lot of pressure on it. Whatever it was, it's been there for a long time. And I've tried everything, massage, all sorts of things to get rid of it. Nothing worked. And the guys have prayed over it a couple of times, and they said, just keep praying. And last week, I was down the back holding Dennis like this, and I felt these hot things coming up my legs like pins and needles. Just on both legs, coming right up to me, up here, and the pain just went, boom, and it's gone. It's gone.
Thank you, Laurie. See, God, you're not just talking about this. We're doing it. We're a church of miracles. How many of you have experienced a miracle in some way in the last 3 or 4 weeks? Raise your hand if you have. Sarah, Sonia, Juanita, Haley, Pete, Laurie, Sandy, this is amazing. We can just have testimony after testimony of what God's doing. It's not just talk. Sure, I'm talking to you right now, but I'm talking to you out of the power of God. And even while I'm speaking to you, God's going to be moving and touching somebody as I speak because He wants His kingdom to invade and touch the natural world to convince you that He is a real God. In Ephesians 3:10, we are told that it is up to us to change the spiritual arena around us. We're not just victims who get bashed around by the devil, you know. I don't want this to be a case of, oh, we're going to go into miracles, but oh, we're going to face the devil who's going to try and stop us. Oh, you know, we're moving forward, but oh, we're going to hit opposition. Oh, we're going to take ground for God, but oh, be careful because, you know, if you're not careful, you're going to get taken out. Excuse me. You have an anointing. You've been given the power of God. You've been given the victory of God. Now, if you are careless and your conduct, your behavior is such that you take a big step for God and then you just like go, wow, I'm going all worldly now. I'm going to flesh out. Well, you're an idiot because you're going to get taken out like that. Please forgive me. None of you are idiots, but people who behave like that are idiots. Okay, don't do that. Don't do that. That's just common sense, isn't it? It's just a little bit of maturity. And so if you be mature about it and you say, okay, I'm taking ground, I better make sure that I close the doors around me. I better make sure that I stand on this ground and I hold this ground. But let me tell you, the devil, the same principle applies. No matter what level you're at, no matter how much new territory you're taking, same truth applies. Resist him and he will flee. He came against Jesus and he tried to tempt him, tried to take him out really early on in his ministry, that I can buy this guy. I've got his price tag. I can get him. What did Jesus say? No, the word of God says this. No, the word of God says this. No, the word of God says this. And the Bible says that the devil left him for a more opportune time. Now, my desire is that none of us would give the devil a more opportune time. He would find very limited opportunities with us. And that's how we win. That's how we take ground. That's how we change the spiritual environment. Because he has found over the years, and he's tried to destroy this church through the years. He's tried any number of ways to destroy us, to shut us down, to shut us up, and move us out. He's tried that, but he has failed. Because we've resisted him to the best of our ability. But what we have done is we've prevailed in the spiritual atmosphere. And as a result, the names of suburbs have changed. The people in power have become born again. The people in business are doing business righteously. The schools are being very friendly towards Christians. You know, consistently. Sure, there's moments when the battle rages and the battle recedes. But at the end of the day, we brought transformation to an area because we have stood our ground, we've resisted the devil, and he's come and he's found, oh, not a good opportunity. I'll wait till they're not expecting me. And he's come again. No, failed again. Tried again, failed again. Now we've taken a beating once or twice, and we've learned from that, as you will take a beating once or twice, and you will learn from that. But we will stand our ground because the anointing on us, the Spirit of God in us, is more powerful than anything in this world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, the Bible says. Do you know that? But it's not just talk, because, you know, in Mark 9, 25 to 29, it's not just about praising and worshiping. There's more to it than this. You see, Peter, James, and John had been invited to go up onto the mountain with Jesus, and there was a moment of transfiguration. A glory cloud came down. Elijah, Moses, and Elisha, I think, were on the mountain with Jesus. And Peter was like, oh, this is so awesome. Let's build a house here. I'm never going back down that mountain again. I'm living in this place. He caught it. I've been in that place. I've done what Peter did. I don't want to leave the mountaintop. It's too awesome. Unfortunately, you've got to leave the mountain. You've got to go back down into the real world at some point. And so these disciples come down from the mountain and they encounter a man who's demon-possessed and they do all the things that they've been taught to do in the name of Jesus. You come out, you have no authority, leave him right now, you let him go, and nothing happens. And they go to Jesus and they say, what the heck? We can't get this thing to work. And Jesus says to them, you know what? This kind doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. And so he's now calling his disciples not just to experience the glory and come down from a Sunday glory meeting and go into the world and expect, ha-ha, I got it, baby. The world better watch out. I'm coming. I'm going to lay hands on the sick and I'm going to, you know, pray for somebody. I'm going to tell my boss. I'm going to go to my boss and I'm going to say, you know what, the condition you've been carrying for a number of years, I'm going to bring the healing right now in the name of Jesus. It may not work like that. You may find that you need to go into prayer and fasting in order to really shift some stuff. And so, tomorrow, we as a worship team, and I want to invite anyone who is listening right now, we want to go into prayer and fasting for one day for healing miracles. Because you see, we've got some of our brothers and our sisters who are struggling with things physically that no amount of laying of hands and praying has shifted yet. No amount of anointing with oil and doing that stuff has shifted yet. We really need God to come through. You know, Gabe, who's doing such an amazing job, he has a future in God. He has a calling in God. He has a dream and a desire to do things for God. But as long as the devil visits him with MS, it's not going to happen in the long term because the future of MS is very bleak. And so we need a miracle. We need God to break through with a miracle for Gabe. So we're going to pray and fast for Gabe. Rion Stratum. I don't know if Rion's here today. Rion had a stroke recently, and he's been given the job of his dreams, the job of a lifetime. And right as he began that job, 2 days in, he got struck with a stroke and has not been able to function and work properly. God has been very kind. He's stayed employed, and the project has been delayed by the grace of God. But there's going to come a time where he's going to have to enter the workforce and be cognizant and be functional and be healthy and strong. And currently, we're in the process of seeing that restored, but it's not there yet. We're going to pray and fast for that to be accelerated and for Rion to be back to full health and full strength. Who else is it? Peter and Alita, thank you. Peter, Parkinson's disease. We've held off, but we've not turned it on its heels and chased it out. It's got to come. We're going to fast and pray for you tomorrow. Alita, your inner ear condition where the balance has been knocked around and you can't function properly and do the things you've been called to do properly. We're going to pray and fast for that. So guys, I'm just calling one day. But I want you to fast like this. Where you'd normally get up in the morning and have breakfast. Worship God. Worship Him. Just worship Him. Say, God, you're bigger than all these medical conditions. I don't know what to pray, but you're bigger. And begin worshiping. Worship for your breakfast time. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is. Put music on, worship. Please, can you do that? Lunchtime. If you can, go for a walk. Put your earpiece in with worship on. And walk and worship and just thank God. Thank you, God, that you're going to heal these people. That these things are going to be turned around. And everyone else that I don't know about or I haven't mentioned, God, heal them. Heal them. We want a miracle of healing through our church, a great restoration. Just pray like that for your half hour, whatever lunch period. And just do that before God. In the evening, where you'd sit down and you'd maybe sit down as a family or you sit at the table or whatever, sit down together and say, God, we're going to worship tonight. And we just sit together and we just put on the music, hold hands, and just say, God, we love these people. We want them healed. Please, will you do something? Just one day. Can you do that with us? Just a day of worship, prayer, and fasting. So that we can see this break open over our precious family. You see, that's when the kingdom of God breaks through. And sometimes it takes a little bit of sacrifice to advance that. I'm going to stop there. Do you have the Spirit of God within you? Do you have that anointing in your life? I mean, really, is it real? Is it something you can identify with on a Sunday, but on a Monday you don't operate in it? Because then I think we need to pray. We need to ask God for that miracle. So, how can we do this? Let's all stand. Let's all stand. You know, I've observed children for a long time. I've even been one. And maybe I still am. But the point is, children don't struggle to ask for things. You know, I've never been in doubt as to when my children want something from me. I've never been unsure. Oh, I don't know. I don't think I understand you. Are you what is it you want? No, you're not being clear. That has never, ever been the issue in my home. And so I want to ask you, do you want an anointing? Oh, my goodness. I must have preached in a different church this morning. Can I ask you one more time? Do you want that anointing? Okay, so pretend you're a little child because the Bible says that the kingdom of God belongs to little children and that you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you become like a little child. Would you like to see that anointing in your life? Then you're going to become like a little child. Are you behaving like a little child right now? Your husband or your wife will know. You're going to become like little children. I'm going to ask you to just let a little bit of humility and timidity come in and fall away in that order. Okay? Do you want that anointing in your life? Yeah, come on. So let's ask Jesus. All right, all together, lift your voices. Be a little child. Jesus, we want an anointing from heaven. We want the power of your... Come on. We want an anointing from heaven. Oh, come on. Jesus, we want an anointing from heaven. We want the power of your Holy Spirit. We want to be set on fire for you. We want to be a people who do miracles, who see miracles, who get miracles. We want to be your church, the one you paid for and the one you're coming back for. Wake us up. Use us. We're yours. Fill us right now to overflowing, because we need you. We cannot do it without you. Please, Jesus, do something in my life that you've never done before. Something beautiful. Something that reflects you and does your name proud. Amen. You have received an anointing that is not of this world, but is from heaven. God bless you. Go in the name of Jesus.